Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy, because everybody now has a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. My very special guest is Dr. or Professor, something of that nature, Victor H. Fisher. Welcome to the program.
Well, hello. How are you this fine day?
I'm really quite lovely, especially now that you're here.
Really quite lovely, huh?
Yeah, I don't really feel quite this way very often, but yes.
How about that? Well, it's usually lovely is not masculine, but that's okay. If you feel lovely,
don't worry.
I feel healthy, so that makes us both in good shape.
That's good, because I don't usually feel masculine either. Speaking of which, you're a bit of a brain expert and an inventor and such, and you know so much about how the brain works and the chemistry and the thinking process and all of that sort of thing. And I was wondering, just in all your years, Victor, what are some of the most important lessons that you've learned about just life in general through studying the brain?
Well, when you know how the brain is works, it makes life a lot much more pleasant. I'm not my frustrations are minimized. We'll put it that way, because I know when before I did my research, I was constantly bombarded with frustrations that I couldn't understand why other people didn't think like I did.
And yeah, well,
some of my bosses.
So that can always be a real harsh one, working underneath people who are beneath you.
Well, fortunately, that's one of the interesting aspects about organizational setups is that usually the most incompetent are the highest level, and therefore I was always blessed because in a normal setup my bosses were always given the opportunity to select their people to work with, and they were usually, in fact, I think in almost all, in all cases, we had a good rapport, and it was just their bosses were the big problems of my I had. So then I had to select out other channels to bypass them, and in most cases I was successful in that area.
Is there some kind of a brain chemical thing that makes people desire to be incompetent and in power at the same time?
Well, it's not really a chemical. It's an actual built-in hardware, the person that is most incompetent knows that he is or she is, and therefore they're very defensive, and the best defense is a strong offense, and so they push to climb the ladder of an organization. They learn how the politics of corporations, and so they push very hard to climb that ladder. A person that is competent is usually self-employed, so to speak, to handle the conflicts at his level. If he's a design engineer, be a good design engineer, and not really worry about corporate politics.
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand exactly how that really affects their behavior.
See, the point I'm trying to make is that in my research, I was able to see there is a difference in the basic architecture of the human brain and in the area of anticipation. And so what I did is I designated these primary differences as being prospective or retrospective, and that is a built-in hardware resource architecture, I should say. And so the retrospective individual knows from basically day one that they need an external information source, whereas the prospective, from day one, they are self-motivated, and so they look out for they get joy out of conflicts, because that gives them an opportunity to show off, in a sense, or be successful and be happy in being able to solve conflicts, where the retrospective individual cannot handle conflicts because
I'm sure this phenomenon of the prospective and retrospective people have existed for a very, very long time in humanity. Are these people generally psychopathic in nature or something like that?
Well, it depends. See, when you get into the psychopathic aspect or antisocial aspect, now you're getting into another extension or expansion of the divisions. And what I mean by that is that there is another element, which is the difference between being mentally motivated versus physically motivated. So if you are mentally motivated, that means that you will, in your solution of a conflict, you will respond to a conflict with a mental attitude. If you are physically motivated, you'll respond to that conflict on a physical basis. In other words, you'll strike out physically. In fact, we used to, at the beginning of our research, we used to call that an animalistic characteristic, whereas the mentally motivated would be more of a humanistic relationship. So if you have a person that is retrospective and is physically motivated, he is a psychopath.
Okay, so basically they're prone to gathering stuff. Like they're sort of like a magpie, if you will, for gathering power and wealth, influence, information,
right.
that kind of thing. They view the world as sort of a suction cup platform for which they can attach their parasitic selves and slurp all the life out, essentially.
That's right. That's right.
And the reason why they
of organizations, whether they're a club or a country, are usually physically motivated people, and their capability as far as retrospective versus prospective is relatively more on the retrospective side, because again, as I said, the retrospective side has a bias to try to cover up their incompetence, we'll put it that way.
So every time you say something, they go out of their mind for some reason and start viciously attacking you. And little do you know, they had somebody else say something very similar to them once in their life, and it was very, very true. And it really, really annoyed them. And now, well, you suffer the wrath.
The more retrospective. The problem with the retrospective is again in the prospectives. Is we're talking only about anticipatory capability. A prospective is able to say that if A equals B and B equals C, that C equals A. In the case of a retrospective, A equals B and B equals C, and C doesn't equal A. And so it's just it's like having a patchboard plugged in backwards. And so the unfortunate part is that the brain as a system is actually broken up into different physical capabilities. But also what happens is that we have what has been termed as the conscious brain, conscious state of the brain, and then we have the subconscious state of the brain. Now, basically, those can be easily modeled by saying, as compared to a computer, is that the conscious part of the brain is the short-term memory and the logic center handling conflict situations. Because there's many CPUs, at least 16 central processing systems in the human brain, but the two that are involved with the two that are involved with logic, that's a special CPU, and it is. There's one for each hemisphere, and so what you have there is the capability of having a situation where the retrospective person can only operate on from his memory, because he can every time he tries to analyze a solution to a conflict, he or she will not get a correct answer. But if he uses his subconscious memory, which is really the long-term memory, that is almost always correct. And so if he uses that as his basis for handling conflict situations, then he becomes ambulatory. He's just like anybody else, or she is just like anybody else. And this is where the confusion comes in with bipolar people. Is that they seem to be rational the majority of the time. It's only stress situations that they really blow up and will react either verbally or physically, and so that's where we get this idea that that there are two types of personalities, or that something occurs later on in life, and so everybody goes chasing around looking, why did that guy blow up, or why did that gunman shoot all those people? So they look at the present or early past, and they get very confused as to the why, they then start chasing around and saying, what could have happened in their past that would make them do this sort of thing, when you don't know how the brain is structured, the questions of why becomes infinite.
Well, can I ask you something?
Okay,
I wanted a bit of advice on a thought I had. You know how, like, sometimes a crazy person will do some crazy stuff to you, and you're like, you know what, I don't understand why they're doing that or anything like that. I don't understand how they think. And my perspective on this, if a crazy person's doing something and you're trying to understand how they think, the only way that you're actually going to understand how they think is if you drive yourself crazy thinking about it.
Right, that's true. That's exactly right. And see, this is where you get in fact, interestingly enough, I think, I don't know if you got the news down there, but a couple of weeks ago, Obama found another place that he could spend some money that he doesn't have in the area of mental health.
I'm sorry, we're coming to break here, and the idea of Obama spending money that he doesn't have on mental health to add to all the other giant list of things that he has that he's paying for that he doesn't have money for is pretty amusing to me. We'll be right back with Victor H. Fisher, ladies and gentlemen, just a few minutes.